world. You're not busy, and this season hasn't been hectic at all. Every gift was easy to find, and every family member has been unusually kind and generous this December. But then, there are the other 99% of you. Some of you just left the house and are trying to remember if you blew the candles out, the ones near the highly flammable Christmas tree that's getting drier by the minute. Uh-oh. Some of you are getting together with extended family members whose expectations are higher than Mount Kilimanjaro. Some of you barely made it to this service, and within the last 60 minutes actually thought, maybe we should just skip it altogether. So for all of us in here, I just want to remind you of what's really important. All that other stuff is important, but this one thing is way more important than anything else. So just breathe and take it in.
He will give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins.
And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us.
And they shall call him Emmanuel, which means flesh and God with us.
Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you.
He is Christ.
He is Christ.
He is Christ the Lord.
That's what's really important. So wherever you're at, whatever you're in the middle of, and whatever is coming next for you and your family, we invite you to set aside this time to focus on Christ the Lord. Just breathe. And allow yourself to view this world-changing event with awe and with wonder. After all, God is with us, not only in Bethlehem, but right here. Right now.
Thank you.
Spirit by thy advent here. Dispense the gloomy cloud of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations by, all peoples
came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now join me in singing, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie, above light deep and dreamlessly, that silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shine the ever
All right, we'll sing Away in the Manger now, all three verses.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay at my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Heaven to live with thee there.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Let's sing together, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to reach their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from hence all ages king. The to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music flows o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains, they bend on offering wing, and the blessed
hark, the herald angels sing.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the sky.
Came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Angels from the realms of glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight for all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now united. Yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending, in him
Come, O ye faithful.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Israel.
To you a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations
child, this tiny, fragile life, carries with it the hope of all humanity. This small voice, now crying out in dark chambers, will one day still the raging sea, will call forth the dead to rise and live. This voice will declare it is finished and shatter the grip of sin. These small hands, now grasping for comfort, will one day restore sight to the blind, will break bread and feed the multitudes. These hands will feel the piercing cold of an iron spike and bring salvation through surrender. These small feet, now wrapped in cloth, will one day travel countless miles upon dusty roads, will stand firm upon rushing water. These feet will crush the snake's head and step forth from an empty tomb victorious. This small child, this wondrous, perfect gift, is Jesus, our Savior, the promise of eternity.
We have tried throughout the evening to, especially in song and in verse, to convey the Christmas message, the Christmas story. For the world, it gets lost in all of the shopping and the party, and a lot of times the Christmas message gets lost. Unfortunately, for some people, Christmas message is Frosty and Rudolph and Santa. But we who know some things about the Bible know that there is a different Christmas message, the true Christmas message. We try to convey that with you. I always enjoy singing the Christmas songs, and as we think about each of those songs and the truth of those and the truth of the message in it. But as we think about the Christmas story, the key thing to understand is the Christmas story is only a part of a much bigger story. You see, as we celebrate the Christmas story, it's not an end-all. It's only the part of really what the Lord is trying to convey to us all through the Bible. Now, it's an important part of the story, and without that part, the rest of the part would not work, but it's only a part of the whole. You see, Jesus didn't just come just to be born in a manger so we'd have a reason to celebrate once a year, to have a Christmas tree and presents and gift-giving. Jesus came for a far bigger reason. He came so he could come to this earth to live a perfect life. At the end of that perfect life, to give his life for us. You know, the story in the Bible is very clear. And here's the story from Genesis to Revelation. Here's the story. Number one, God loves us. It's all through the Bible. To doubt God's love is really not to understand anything about the Lord. The Bible says God is love. So how do you know that God loves you? Because He has to love us. He is love. It's the nature, the attribute of God. But it is true that God loves us, but the problem is that we are sinners. The Bible says we are all gone our own way. It's not that we have made mistakes and did some boo-boos and uh-ohs. It's that we have purposely made choices opposite of what was right. We've chosen to do wrong. We knew what was right. We chose to do wrong. And that puts us at enmity with God. On the other side. Against God. And so now we have a kind of a contradiction, kind of a paradox, if you will. We have a God who loves us, but also in a holy God, a just God, who looks at our sin and has to send us to an eternal hell. There's only one way for those two things to come together, and that is that God Himself had to come and die in our place. The righteous judge, the loving Father, became the Savior, the incarnate Son of God, who lived 33 perfect years and then gave His life on the cross. so we would have an opportunity to receive Him as our Savior. There's different reasons we use candles for candlelight service. The obvious reason is you can't have a candlelight service without candles. That's the obvious reason. But there's some other analogies to that. And we can use different analogies. This is the one I'm going to use tonight. That candle represents what the Lord wants to do in each of our hearts. Bring light. Number one, He wants to enlighten us to show that we are sinners. That we're lost. That we cannot save ourselves. Number two, He wants to show us this, is that He gave His life for us. So that we could have that promise, that hope. The problem is, without Christ, we stay in our darkness. The world is a dark place. It's not dark because of government. It's not dark because of war. It's not dark because of famine. Those are the results of the consequence of the darkness. The reason for the darkness is because they do not know Christ. Christ brings light. So as you look at that candle in your hand just for a moment, understand this, that Jesus wants to come into your heart and enlighten it. So who does God want to save? Every single person. Who does He save? The one who will open his heart to Jesus and receive Him. And that's really the big story. And the Christmas story is just a part of that. Appreciate you being with us tonight. What we like to do at the end of our service, we like to stand together and then sing Silent Night. We'll do that in just a moment. But as we do that, as we sing through the words, think about that first Christmas. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about it. There's some things we know by tradition. There's a few things we know by Scripture. We know this, it was some type of stable. There's no room for Him in the inn. We know that He was laid in a manger. We know that the shepherds came to see Him. That's about all we know about it. But we do understand this, He did it for a reason. So that He could come and die for us. And that whole reason for that first Silent Night, Holy Night, was a God who loves us, who wanted to give His life for us. As we sing it, don't just think about the baby in the manger. Think about the Savior who died on the cross. Because the Christmas story is just a part of that whole big story. I'm going to ask Brother Choman to come. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we're going to sing all four verses, Silent Night, Holy Night. At the end of this song, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender. Christ the Savior is born. silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels, let us sing.
Whether it's tomorrow Christmas Eve, most likely Monday Christmas Day, I encourage you, maybe with your family, gather together, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, read the Christmas story together. I don't think the Lord's upset that we give gifts or we have family time, big meals. I think the Lord arranged it that way. He gave His family. But let's not forget really what Christmas and who Christmas is about. And don't just stop at the manger. Don't just stop at that part of the Christmas story. Realize this. The whole purpose of Him coming 2,000 years ago and born in that manger is so He could die on Calvary. He fulfilled all the prophecies so He could come and die in our place and provide us an opportunity for heaven. Make sure you thank Him for that this Christmas. The greatest gift of all. The greatest gift is not the baby in the manger. The greatest gift is eternal life in heaven. So make sure we don't forget that. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me? Father, I would pray that You would bless us. Lord, I don't know if there's enough words in the English language. I don't know if anyone has the vocabulary just to express what a wonderful thing it is, what You did for us. The grace, the mercy, the kindness. You could have done it a whole bunch of different ways, but You did it in a very simple way so that we as simple people could understand it. And You didn't just do it for the rich or just for the famous. You did it for us, people that we don't make the news. There's nothing special about us, but yet You loved us. And You came and You did all this with us on Your mind. Lord, we're thankful for it. We're thankful for Bethlehem. We're thankful for the manger. But we're thankful because it's a part of a bigger story of Calvary and of heaven. Father, there's one here tonight who does not know You as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that they would understand that they're a lost sinner. But yet there's a loving God who wants to save them. And they would open their heart and receive Christ for themselves. And that this Christmas would not just be a story about a manger, but it'd be they'd understand the story of Calvary. And would know Jesus as their own Savior. Now, Lord, I pray You bless us as we travel home, our Christmas time together, especially our services tomorrow. And we ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, God bless you. You can blow out your candle. You can just leave it on the back table when you're done.